WWLR 91.5. This is Musician's Point, and I'm Matt Taylor. Joining us on the phone is John Flansburgh, one of the driving forces in the band They Might Be Giants. John, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry about the delay. It's snowing really hard here in the Catskills, and the communications infrastructure is not so strong around here that we can hold up to a little bit of a light dusting of snow that easily.
Well, that's okay. We're glad to have you now. So if you were to talk to a listener unfamiliar with They Might Be Giants' music, what would you give as a brief description of what the band is all about?
Well, when I jump into a taxi cab with a guitar, I'm often asked by the taxi driver, what kind of music do you make? And I usually say, up until a couple of years ago, I always said, it's kind of like the Beatles, but the lyrics are more unusual. I feel like that's a pretty honest description.
Yeah, definitely.
Of the band, just because, I mean, not that the songs are as good as the Beatles songs, but I think the form of what we're doing is song based, and even though there's a lot of experimentation in how we approach songs, there's something about the popular song, like the 60s based popular song, that is pretty identifiable. I mean, you know, they're rhyming words and there's verses and there's choruses, and often there are bridges and intros, so there's a formal resemblance. But in more recent years, I've taken to telling taxi drivers and people in airports and stuff that I am the hired guitar player in Fountains of Wayne.
That's great.
And they're like, oh really? I like those guys. Some people will be like, what's their big song? I'll be like, Stacy's Mom. It's like, oh, I love that song. It's like, yeah, I don't show up in the videos. Like, they just, I'm just a ringer.
Yeah, just studio musician kind of.
Yeah, and what's funny is that it actually what people, if you're working like a, if you're working like moving bags in the airport, I realize it's much easier to relate to the guy who's like the hired guy in a band. Like, I get a much better response. I'm sticking with the Fountains of Wayne story.
Well, back to you said that it's kind of like the Beatles, but with different lyrics. And I definitely agree with that, because almost none of your songs sound the same. You have many different genres that you go on. Well, I wanted to ask you, what is your writing process? Like, do you write the lyrics or the music, or how does it work?
Well, both John and I kind of approach things, each song in its own way, or we try to. I mean, you could probably get it into a dozen categories of ways of approaching things, and some of them are much more traditional than others. Like recently, we did a song called "Madam, I Challenge You to a Duel."
Yes,
and I was actually I was either reading a description or listening to a podcast, something about the history of dueling in the United States. And the history of dueling is a really weird thing, just because it's all about this notion of honor that is really archaic. I guess men in the South had this really heightened notion of personal honor and identity, and just the phrase struck me. And I guess, that's sort of just a Tin Pan Alley way of approaching writing a song. You have what you think is a good title, and that's enough to just drive the
idea. Writing all the lyrics and all that.
Yeah. I just thought of the phrase, "Madam, I challenge you to a duel," and it had enough sort of you know, cognitive dissonance in it that it just, like, it boggled my mind. I mean, I just thought, like, that's a really weird idea because, you know, if you're the kind of person who would challenge anyone to a duel, you would never, ever challenge a woman.
Exactly,
to a
duel. Yeah.
So that just seemed an interesting endeavor to me. And the thing I like about it, you know, we have a whole set of songs that are kind of, I don't know if you know this expression, the unreliable narrator. So it's like Randy Newman is like the ultimate, sort of the king of the unreliable narrator song. Like, you're writing a character song, and what's sort of revealed over the course of the song is that the person singing the song is not really either being entirely honest or is not really like a trustworthy narrator to the proceedings. Like they're invested in their own agenda.
Yeah, and you got to be kind of cynical about them, kind of.
Yeah, so it's a clever way to write a song, just because it's like a different point of view. It's like beyond just first person, you know, first person singular, like, you know, Dear Diary. Mm-hmm. I have so many feels today. You know, it's like it's a more literary way of writing. And the thing I like about a song like Madam, I Challenge You to a Duel is it actually, even in the title, you understand that it's coming from a character's point of view, that it's not like our point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of times we're not particularly good at explaining that kind of thing. So anyway, I mean, that's one way we do stuff. But John and I have, you know, we collaborate in various different ways, some of which are very fruitful, like with a recent song off the Dial Song Project that just came out. I guess it just came out last week.
Hate the Villanelle.
Hate the Villanelle. You know, that's a lyric that I put to. You know, it actually is a villanelle, which is like a poetic form. It's like a sonnet. And I put that lyric. I put that lyric together, and then just sort of presented it to Linnell as like a finished thing, and said, like, you know, if you want to have at it with, you know, putting music to this, that would be a fun way to do it. I mean, in part because, like, just putting the lyric together was in of itself was like such a homework assignment, because it's,
yeah, exactly. That seems like the kind of thing that'd be really, really hard to write, because it just seems so different than everything else.
Well, I mean, you don't want it to be too hard to write. I don't know. too hard on the ear. I mean, it does have. It's not iambic pentameter. It's not,
yeah, exactly.
You know. So. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's actually a pretty good villanelle.
Oh, you know? I agree.
You know, I mean, it has the right, it has the entire exact right number of syllables. It, all the rhymes are true rhymes. They're not close rhymes, which is a big problem for me. Like, you know, leaving off, this is real songwriter-y kind of interview.
Yeah.
I do this thing where, like, you know, which drives some people crazy, which is, well, I mean, a lot of our songs don't rhyme at all, but a lot of our songs will have like a plural and then a rhyming word that isn't a plural. And if you're like a Broadway background, that is considered a very tedious way to write. That, like, you know, you're sort of like doing a half-baked job of rhyming. Like, don't rhyme. It's better to have not rhymed at all than to have close rhymed.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, I think that it works very well, and I appreciate all the different ways you write a song. You write songs, because there shouldn't be just one way. Like, you sit down, I'm going to write a song today. I think it should be more about where the inspiration comes from, and like you said, you were reading about duels, and it just comes from different places. So you shouldn't just say, I'm going to write this music and then I'm going to write these lyrics, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think if you want to write a lot of songs too, it helps to kind of go at it from different directions.
Exactly. Cool. So you said both those songs that you mentioned, Madam, I Challenge You to a Duel, and Hate the Villanelle, are both part of a Dial-A-Song project. And would you like to explain what the Dial-A-Song project is?
Sure. Basically, in 2015, every week we are releasing a new song, And it's, you know, it's their videos accompanying all the songs, and they are going out into the world via, you know, a website called dialsong.com that is it's actually a very elegant, very simple interface, and all the songs are archived there as well. So it's just another version of the old, you know, They Might Be Giants He-Man songwriting contest that we have entered into. It's just a creative challenge that we gave ourselves to put out 52 songs, and it's been a lot of fun so far. Actually, you know, it has been hard to just like focus up and get, you know, start sort of stockpiling these songs and have good songs for every week. Mm. I hope we can keep it together. I have to say, like, we're talking at a very crucial point in the project because we have everything mapped out kind of in stone till April or May right now.
Oh yeah, and then after that you gotta keep...
And after that, and we have a lot of good, really good kids songs, and we have a lot of okay songs, but we've really front loaded what we're doing with the very best stuff that we're doing. I mean, pardon me if I'm being too honest here, but you know, I think the hope is that right now we're going to really kick out some killer tracks for the summer and the fall. I mean, part of the problem with the kids stuff is we can't lean on the kids stuff too heavily without kind of alienating people who go for the adult stuff. I mean, the kids, it's not too kidified, the stuff that we're doing, but it is kids. It is for kids. It's a little bit, a slightly lighter tone. So anyway, this is sort of like a crucial moment for us. And, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do this project a different way. I wouldn't want to have to write a new song every week and just be staring at the blank page on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, I'm friends with Jonathan Colton, and he did a song a week project, and that was the way he did it. I think that would be, emotionally, that would be just, like, too gutting. And it's times like this I'm very grateful to be in a... to be in a duo. You know, it's much easier to do something, to face something, an idea like this, when you kind of share the responsibility.
Yes. Speaking of that, how did like the original Dial a Song get started? Cause They Might Be Giants started in the early 80s. And then, the Dial a Song came shortly after. Like, where did you come up with using an answering machine as like a medium to people could call in the number and listen to a new song every once in a while?
Yeah, it was, it was a very different time, and the phone machines as an idea were brand new. So it was a very novel thing just to hear a recording on a phone in the first place.
I'm only 18, yeah. So I never remembered those days. So
yeah, it's sort of like talking about you know, the telegraph or something. Like it's so familiar to us now, but it was a fad. It was very much a New York City fad, and it was part of New York City life for a couple of years before it went anywhere else. I mean, I remember talking to friends of mine in Boston, and you know, nobody had phone machines in Boston yet, and whereas they were kind of becoming ubiquitous in New York, it was very early, relatively early on. I mean, in the phone machine trend, and there was even an interval of time where people were getting phone machines in New York, where technically having a phone machine was against the law.
Really?
Which is a really, because your phone was owned by the AT&T. Like, you know, the way you like, you pick up a pillow or a mattress and it's got a tag on it.
Yes.
Because like you can't resell this. there was this thing about phones. If you looked at the bottom of AT&T phones, and it said like this is the the phone was actually being like leased to you by AT&T, and the reason. Yeah, and the reason that it was leased by AT&T, that you didn't actually own your physical phone, was a way for them to control the use of the equipment. So they were actually saying like, you can't fiddle with this equipment, because they didn't want people meddling with like the structure of AT&T's phone network.
Yeah,
and the thing about the phone machines is that you actually, I mean, this is so long ago, it's like ridiculous. The whole idea of a removable plug on a telephone mm-hmm. was a very early 80s, late 70s, early 80s idea. Like, phones were hardwired into the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, you know, it was like having a phone in your house was like having a phone booth. You know, it was just like, it was like freaking nailed into the wall there. And so to attach a phone machine to your phone, the original ones were actually these physical contraptions that you would cradle the receiver in like a box, and when the phone rang, it would mechanically open up the line and physically answer the phone, like unhitch the little hook of the phone, and then record what was coming through the receiver. Because you couldn't actually get between the phone and the phone line. And it was only in the early 80s that access really became available. And even then, I knew a guy who was an illustrator for the Village Voice, who actually got into trouble, who actually had the phone company harass him about his phone machine.
That was really their top priority.
Well, it was right before AT&T was, the monopoly on AT&T was let go. Like, there was, when Sprint and MCI and all those other companies challenged AT&T's long-distance authority and then, like, their local carrier authority. So it was like a lot of changes were just about to happen with the phone system.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, he basically, like, had, like, a nuisance. It would be like knowing somebody who got sued for Napster, you know. Like I never knew anybody who got sued for using Napster, but I would imagine it would be insane.
Lars Ulrich from Metallica will get on you for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. Well, so why did you decide to revive Dial a Song this year? Like, did you just come up with it was gone since like 2008, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was always just a phone line, and I think, I mean, from the time that we stopped doing it, I was trying to think about, like, if we were to relaunch it, how it would work or what it would be. And I guess the thing about doing the song, putting out a song every week, it seemed like a manageable creative challenge, and also doing it for a year seemed like a manageable creative challenge. I wouldn't want to just say like,
let's do it indefinitely.
Yeah. Because I know by the end of 2015, we're just going to be like so punch drunk.
Burnt out.
Cross-eyed about the whole thing that like, we're going to need a little bit of a break. So it's like, it's a little bit like running a marathon. It's a very different thing now than it was originally. I mean, the original Dial a Song, it's interesting because people projected on what Dial a Song was without ever. We never said like we're writing a new song every day. Mm-hmm. We never said that at all ever. But there was a notion that that's what we were doing. Like people just immediately projected that notion on the enterprise, and I guess we didn't do a lot. We didn't go out of our way to dissuade them of the idea that we were writing a new song every day. But from relatively early on, we had a rotation of like a couple dozen songs that were all pre-recorded on cassette. So it did change every day.
Oh yeah.
But it wasn't a different. If you called back a month later, you could very easily hear the same song, and in some cases. Some of the songs were in rotation for a very long time. I mean, I think I think the song Birdhouse in Your Soul was, mm-hmm. was actually on Dial Song for a couple of years before it ever, and it was, like a lot of our demos, it was extremely in miniature. Like, it, I think it was really just like a, essentially like the intro of the song and then a chorus.
Didn't you only have a time limit too? Like, didn't the answering machines only do a certain amount of time too?
Well, that we actually picked the machine that had an unlimited outgoing message.
Awesome.
And you actually, but the way, there was this weird physical challenge to it, which is you press a button that left the tone, the ooh, that mm-hmm. would, that signaled the machine to return. So you were in charge of kind of determining how long the message could be. The problem with that was if we sang any sustained notes in the song, the record-a-call phone machine would interpret that as the signal that this message was ending.
Huh, so then you had to be kind of choppy, you know, you have to end words really quick and stuff to prevent that.
We actually did a thing that was sort of like, you know, like when DJs will be like mixing like a acapella vocal track and be like, I love you, like that. We would do that. We would actually, as we were mixing the song for the Dial Song, we would like sort of pop in to cut the long sustained notes.
That's
which
cool.
was nuts. I mean, like, it had nothing to do with music, but it was, it really was important that the phone, I mean, it just didn't work any other way. So we were kind of stuck.
That's awesome. But, speaking of that, are you resurrecting any previous Dial songs from back in the day? Like releasing them as bonus tracks? And
yeah, we have a you can actually subscribe to Dial a Song Direct and get all the stuff, all the songs just like right into your mailbox every week. And you know, we would encourage everybody hearing this to, you know, to do that, because that's
definitely,
I mean, that's how we pay our rent. So there is a way to subscribe and get copies of all the songs as they come out. And those people who subscribe to Dial Song Direct actually get the songs before they're anywhere else. One of the other side benefits of that project is every couple of weeks we will also add like a bonus track of like either a really an original Dial Song song, like a in sort of like basically they're sort of songs in demo form. Or just like a rarities track, like something that we did for a different project, or something that kind of slipped between the cracks. So there's a lot of material that people might not be familiar with if they're not tracking the band really closely. That's actually really interesting stuff. I mean, like a couple weeks ago on the Dial Song Direct, we released one of the tracks. We did a song. We did a video for the song Tesla, and they're actually 10 different videos playing in it was like this embedded YouTube project where it was essentially like a gigantic remix project, and a couple of the tracks that in the thing were created for the project, and none of those tracks have been available up until now, even though people really dug them. So we put those out as bonus tracks, and then this week there's the demo of the song Spy that was on the original Dial song is a bonus track. So there's a lot of stuff that's kind of getting layered in. But, you know, I mean, right now we just really are trying to get people to check out these new songs. That's like that's our big project for 2016.
And it's a great way of getting people involved using every avenue you have. John Flansburg from They Might Be Giants is on the phone. I saw that you have a residency in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York, every month in 2015.
Yeah.
Will you guys have a different set each time?
Yeah. We're doing all these sort of specialty shows. A lot of them are playing full albums. All but one, which we're doing a show with Colton next month. But all of them, typically they're evenings with. So they're longer shows. Like we play for like 2 hours. So we can actually play like a whole complete album and then a whole bunch of the new Dial a Song songs. And so it's a lot of fun. I mean, the shows are all selling out, so it's really it's always very easy and exciting to just do a bunch of sold out shows. And we like having the excuse of just like getting to stay at home. It's a lot easier doing a local show for us than being on the road for months on end.
Yeah, and also the super fans can go to every single show and not have to, think that they're going to see the same show every time, which is really cool, too.
We love the super fans.
Yeah, cool. Well, I have one more question for you, and then we have to head out. What's the best part of waking up in the morning and saying, "Damn, I'm John Flansburgh"?
I love my wife.
Good answer.
Yeah, I mean, it makes things a lot easier. Life is complicated, and it's great to have a family. So
awesome, cool. Yeah. Well, John, this has been John Flansburgh on Musicians Point WWLR 91.5. You can check out They Might Be Giants Dial a Song by either calling their number at a toll free number at 1-844-387-6962 or dialasong.com, and also check out their shows in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York every month in 2015. Thank you for joining us, John.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.